Begin the Kantav Masech this Erev and Daf Yutes. We begin on the top line, where the Gemara continues quoting different agadic statements from the same Amara from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. So the Gemara begins. Va'ama Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Boy, Rei, come and see. Shaloi k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas Basav Adam. That the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the world, the way he conducts himself is very much different than the way flesh and blood conducts himself. That is midas Basav Adam, with the way you find by a leader that's flesh and blood, a human, mortal. Mischayev Adam HaRigel HaMalchus. That when a person is he's liable to getting killed by the government. So matim lechako techpiv, they have to put into his mouth a piece of wood that he shouldn't be able to speak bad against the government. He's screaming and cursing because he's getting killed. So they have to stick a piece of wood that he shouldn't be able to speak. Kadesh lechalas enough that he shouldn't curse the king. But the measurement of a Kadesh Bohu, Adam Mischayev HaRigel HaMalchus, that a person becomes liable to being killed because of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shaisik, he's quiet. Shalom, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, L'cha dumiya, to you there's silence, and that is everyone is quiet to you, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No one has what to say. Tehillah, that is your praise. V'loy oid, not only that, but even more than that. Not only that they're quiet, Elishim Shabeach, rather they praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom, like it says in the pasuk Tehillah, that not only are they silent, but rather that they even praise you that, for regarding this, that they're being killed. Not only that, but the person that's going through these challenges, these difficulties, being killed, it seems as if he's sacrificing himself as a carbon. That Yisurim, he's makabel mehava out of love. Shanamak says over there in the pasuk, ulecha yeshulam neder, that to you they pay their vows, and that is that silence that the person is makabel as Yisurim with silence. To him, it seems like that's the paying back of an oath. And that is a person is makabalit, so very much different than regular flesh and blood where they're cursing, have to stick a piece of wood that they shouldn't. But here a person is makabalit with silence, and even that's how they even praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what they deserve. As the Gemara says, Hayin Amri B'Shu Min Levi, that he says, Ma'idah said, what is this that it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim? Oivrei Be'emek HaBacha, those that pass through the valley of Bacha, Mayon Yeshisuhu, they make it into a wellspring. And Gam also, Barachas Yate Meira, that the early rains, that's the Meira, that it's covered with blessings. That it covers it with blessings. So what is this understanding of the pasuk? So on the deeper level, he explains as follows. Oivrei, what does it mean, those that pass? Eilu b'nei adam sh'oivrin al v'tzayin l'shamakim. The word oivrei is that they're oivrin, that they transgress the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Eimek, so for such people, there's the depth, sh'mamikin lehem gehenim, that they make gehenim deeper for these people. Habacha, that they cry and they shed tears, and that's the next part of the pasuk that says Mayin Yeshesuhu, like the spring of the Shisim, and that is in the Beis Hamikdash. There was a hole on the corner of the building of the Mizbeach where they would pour the wine from the barrels and would go in there the entire year, as the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Tes says. So that's how much tears, like the spring of the Shisim, that there was so much that was being poured down there. That's how much these people will cry. However, the pasuk ends Gam Brachas Yatem Meira. That also blessings, we said, that the early rain covers. However, the way it's interpreted here is shematzdikin alei mesadin, that they accept righteously upon them the judgment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them, whether it be Yisurin or death. They say in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, and that's yata ha-meira, that they cover them, they cover the meira, which is the teacher. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the meira. They cover him with, that's what we're saying, gam brachas, they cover him also with blessings, as the people that are accepting the divine retribution. They say, Yafa Danta, you judge rightfully, Yafa Zakisa, that you merited those who were supposed to be merited righteously, Yafa Chayavta, and properly that you made people liable. The Yafa Tekanta, Gehenim Risham, and you it's also proper that you Mesakin Gehenim for the Risham, for the evil ones, and Gan Eden Latzadikim, and the Garden of Paradise for the righteous people. And as we see that these people, that although that they go through Be'emek HaBacha and they're going into the depth of Gehenim, still they gam brachas, that they also give blessings, and they cover, that's what it says, that Yata HaMayra, they cover the Mayra, the teacher, which is Hashem, with blessings, and that they're makabal. It's the same concept that we said before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much different than the Bas of Adam that executes punishment. And that's what I ask, Ini, is that really so that the Risham are makabal their din, that they realize the judgment, although throughout their lives they were denying it, but then they are accepting it, Me'ahava. But Rishim Malakish said, Rishoim, afila pischa shegehenim eno chayiz b'tshuva, that the wicked ones, even by the entrance of Gehenim, they're not chayiz b'tshuva, although intellectually they see the truth, but physically they are so ingrained in their evil ways that they can't even repent, even by the entryway of Gehenim. Shalom, like it says in Pasuk in Yeshaya, the yatsu v'ro, that they shall go out and they shall see, b'figrei ha'anoshim ha'poishim b'vigoymer, in the corpses of the people that rebel against me. Now, shepashu lo nemer, it doesn't say of the corpses of those that had sinned against me. Elaha poishim, rather those that in the present tense that sinned against me, that even at the time of, as the pasuk over there says, toilosam, in their difficulty, and ve'isham, it says over there, that in their fire, that shepashim v'holchem lo'olam, that forever, for eternity, they continue to sin against me. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, like Rish Lakish says, that they rebel forever. So how do we resolve that contradiction? On the one hand, we're saying that the people, even the Rishom, are makabel, they're yisur and me'ahava, even if they were Russian. And yet here we have a teaching from Rish Lakish that says that no, they never repent, and they never makabel it. Even in Gehenim, they're still rebelling. And that the Gemara says, loy kasha. Ha b'poish Yisrael. This that we said, that the people are chayzer b'tshuva, and they are makabel yisur. And that was talking about the sins of the Jewish people. Ha b'poish erev dikachavim. This that Rish Lakish said, that they never repent, and they're never makabel me'ahava. That was talking about the sinners of idol worshippers. As the Gemara says, hachanam istab, you have to say this, to say this difference between the what Rish Lakish is saying and the other opinion that of Rabbi Shuban Levi, that there's if they're makabel yisur me'ahava at the end of their life or they're not, because dim came, because if this statement of Rish Lakish that says that they're not chayzer b'tshuva was talking about poish yisrael, sinners of the Jewish people, and that's how he's talking about, that's what the pasuk means over there, shehapoishim, that they're constantly sinned even when they're by the Now the end of that pasuk says v'isham le'tichme, that their fire, the fire of the Gehenna, of these type of people will never go out, will never be extinguished. Now if that was what the pasuk was talking about, even the sinners of the Jewish people, then kasha d'Rish Lakish ad'Rish Lakish, then you would have a contradiction in the statement of Rish Lakish himself, because the Amr Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish says poishi Yisrael ein ur Gehenna shaletis ben, that by the sinners of the Jewish people, the fire of Gehenna never has dominion, doesn't rule over them. Which would be a contradiction, because that pasuk, if you're saying it's Poish Yisrael, is talking about that their fire never is extinguished, and yet here in this statement he says that the fire of Gehenna regarding the Poish Yisrael, it never has dominion over them at all. They never even really get there. As Rish Lakish says, Kavochaimim Mizbeach Hazav. It's a Kavochaimim from the golden altar. That Ma Mizbeach Hazav, She'enu Lov Eliko Ovi Din Hazav, regarding the golden Mizbeach that was inside the Heichel, that it only had the thickness of a dinner of Zav. It wasn't so thick of gold. Yet Amid Kamashanim Lo Sholtabo, or it lasted for so many years, although there was hot, fiery things that were placed on it, and the fire did not rule over it, meaning, in other words, it wasn't burned through. Peish Yisrael Shemalei Mitzvah Karim, so regarding the sinners of the Jewish people, that they are filled, even the evil ones, are filled with mitzvahs that they had done, like a pomegranate. Shanem, like it says, a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Kefelach Harimun Rakosich, like a piece of a pomegranate are your temples. Vamir Shimon Lakash, and he darshans the pasuk, says, Al Tikri Rekosich. Don't say that it's the temples, El Rekosich, rather your empty ones. That is Shafil Rekonishabach, that even the empty ones of the Jewish people are Malay and Mitzvah Karim and are filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. Alachas kama v'kama, definitely they're not going to have fire rule over them, just like we find by the Mizbeach Hazav, which only had a certain amount of thickness of gold. So the Jewish people that are, even the Rishom that are so full with mitzvahs, Kerimon, definitely the fire is not going to rule over them. So definitely we see that you have to say this differentiation that the Gemara is proposing, because you have to say Rish Lakish was talking about by the non-Jewish people, and they, even by the entryway of Gehenna, they're still rebelling. Whereas by the Jewish people, as we said from Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that there they do repent by the end when they're coming near their end. Because if Rish Lakish was talking about, even by the Poshi Yisrael, that they don't repent, yet but that pasuk says v'isham le'tich, but their fire is not extinguished, and Rishon ben Lakish himself says from a different source that they don't have the fire of Gehenna ruling over them. So obviously when he said that, it's that pasuk that the fire will rule over them and they do not repent, was talking about by Poshi Akum, and when we were saying from Rishon ben Levi that they do repent and their makabel me'ahava, was talking about the Poshi of Yisrael. But on that the Gemara asks, El Hodech said, but this that it says in the pasuk that Rabbi Shua ben Levi had mentioned, the Ivri be'emek ha-bacha, that they are the ones that pass in the valley of bacha, of crying, and that as we interpreted before, that this pasuk is told by the Jewish people. That we said that ultimately they are makabel me'ahava, they're quiet, and they're gam brachas yatamar, that they even praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what they're going through. However, but it does say that they're Ivri be'emek ha-bacha, which we said that mamikim lahem is the emek, the depth of Gehenim, and their moir demois. And Shlomo Lakish was saying that the Poish Yisrael don't go to Gehenna, that the fire of Gehenna does not rule over them. How is that? How would we resolve that? Because that pasuk, everyone has to agree, is told on by the Poish Yisrael, and yet they are going into Gehenna. That's the word of Amik. And yet we're saying that Rish Lakish says that the fire of Gehenna does not rule over them. And that the Gemara says, Hahud Mechayv Ahi Shaita Begehenna. What that means is that when we say that they go into the depth of Gehenna, it means that that moment was when there was a decreed upon them that they have to go into Gehenna. However, the Ur of Gehenna, as Rish Lakish says, never really ultimately rules over them because of Asi Avram Avinu Umasik Lahu. Avram, our forefather, he comes and takes out the Jewish person from Gehenna Umakabalo and he gathers them together. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Shimon Lakish said when he meant that the fire of Gehenna doesn't rule over them, because although it says that Emek HaBocha, that they do pass through, because ultimately that's where he has to go through, but Avram Avinu goes and takes him out, so the fire never rules over him. Bar, however, there is an exception to those people that Avram Avinu does not take out of Gehenna, Mi'Yisrael Shaba al Bas Evik Achavim, from a Jewish man that has relations with the daughter of an idol worshiper, and the reason is Demashkar Lasset, because she pulls out his foreskin to cover his Mila, V'loy Mevashkalei, and Avram Avinu does not recognize that Jew that he's Jewish, because she went and pulled his foreskin over the bris milah, over the circumcision, and it appears to Avram Avinu like he's a non-Jew, like he's not, doesn't have a bris milah, and that's why such type of people, Avram Avinu, does not save him Gehenna. Now the Gemara goes back to ask, on the inference that we had made a diak, that hapoishim, that Bishim Malakas said, and as we explained later, it was told by the sinners of the idol worshippers, of the non-Jews, that they are poishimbi. Even continuously now, they continue to sin, even by the Pesach Shel Gehenna. On that, the Gemara says, "Maskelu Rav Kahana, Hashdu Da'amid HaPoishim." Now that you explain that the word HaPoishim, that they are the ones, the corpses of those who sin in the present tense, the Pashiv Azri, that you're saying that even now they're sinning, that even by the entryway of Gehenna they still do not repent. Elamiata Dechsev. But now that we have a pasuk in Bayukah that says HaMoitzi, that He takes you out, VaHamala, and that He brings you up, which that pasuk is in Bayukah Chav Beis and Yud Aleph, that says HaMoitzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem is the one that takes you out, in the present tense, from the land of Egypt. And also it says, Hamala Eschem Eretz, that He brings you up from the land of Egypt. Demasiku, demapiku, that means that He's bringing up and taking us out right now. There it also says in the present tense. But that's not true. He's not taking us out right now from Mitzrayim. El da'asik va'apik. Rather, what it means is that he had taken us out and He had brought us up. So, chenami depashehu. Here also, there's no raya. Here it means that they had in their lives that they were sinners. And therefore, even for the Poshe Akum, we don't have a raya that even in their when they're by the entry of Gehenna that they are Poshea and they sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not Makabal when they see the truth ultimately at the end, because although it says in the present tense, just like over there by Mitzrayim, that it says Hashem takes us out, doesn't mean now, because we're how many years later from leaving Egypt, it means that He had. Here also, when this is a Poshim, it means that they had at their time when they were living. Now the Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amora. V'amei b'irmiyah b'alaza. There are three portals, three openings for Gehenna. Echad b'midbar, one is in the desert. Ve'echad b'yam, one is in the sea. Ve'echad b'Yerushalayim, and one is in Yerushalayim. Again, there's three entryways to hell. As the Gemara says, b'midbar dechsev, regarding the desert, as we find the pasuk in Sefer b'midbar, ve'yerdu heim, that they went down. This was a reference to Korach and his whole gathering, that the ground came and swallowed them up. B'chol Ashalahem, and everything that was from them, all their resources, Chaim Sha'ila went down into Gehenna. And therefore we see that in the Midbar there is an entryway, there's a Pesach over there for Gehenna. Bayam, where do we see that there's an entryway for Gehenna in the sea? Like it says in Sefer Yoina, Mibetin Sha'ol Shivati, from the stomach of Sha'ol, which is one of the names of Gehenna, as the Gemara later is going to bring. Shivati, from there I screamed out to you, and that was Yoina himself, Ben Amitai, that he screamed out from the stomach of the fish inside the depth of the sea. Shemati Kali, you heard my voice. So we see that it was called Sha'ol down there in the depth of the sea. That's one of the second of the portals to Gehenna. And Yerushalayim, the third one that we find, the entry to Gehenna is in Yerushalayim, except like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya. Nu'um Hashem, this is what Hashem says. Asher ur loy b'tzion, that He has a fire for Himself in Tzion. V'tanu loy b'shalayim, and an oven for Himself in Yerushalayim. And as the Gemara says, v'tanu be b'shmol, what does it mean, these two phrases? Asher ur loy b'tzion, that He has a fire for Himself in Tzion, zu Gehenna, that's actual reference to Gehenna. V'tanu loy b'shalayim, and the oven for Himself in Yerushalayim, zu pischa shogen, this is the entry for Gehenna. As we said, there's three psachim, three portals, one in the desert, one in the sea, and one in Yerushalayim. I'm not thinking about asking, Suleka, are there only three gateways to hell? But V'amr Amiryon, Amir B'Shuman Leiviv, and V'amr Lan, some say that Tana Rabbi Amiryon, B'Debeir B'Yechim Mezaka, that he had quoted, Rabbi Amiryon had quoted a brisa from the yeshiva of B'Yechim Mezaka, that they had gathered in the Beis Medrash of Yerichim and Zakkai, similar to the Teseftes, which are the brises that Rebbe Chir and Rebbe Oishia put together, which are the brises that we always quote, that he was quoting from a brisa that Shtei Tamaris Yesh Begei Ben Hainim. There are two palm trees in the valley of Ben Hainim, and that's where the word Gehenim comes from, which is Gei, is the valley of Hinnom. V'oila Oshin Mebinehim. And there is smoke that comes out from between these two palm trees. B'zuhi shishanina, that's in reference to these two palm trees, what we learned regarding the halachas of Sukkos, that sine har barzel ksheris, that the branches of the iron mountain are kosher, that is, they can be used from these palm trees as lulav, because they are from a palm tree, and although they're like an iron mountain because they get that heat from the gehenim that's between them, still you can use them. And the Braisa there concludes, Bizuhi Pisco Shogenim, and this is the entryway of Gehenim. So therefore you see there's a fourth place, which is the Tzine Har Basel, between these branches of the Har HaBarzel, which are these two palm trees, that is also a portal for Gehenim. And the Gemara says, Zimhainu Yushalayim. Maybe that was the third place of Yushalayim, that we're in Yushalayim, it's between these two trees, and that's by the valley of Ben Hinnom. That is the third portal for Gehenim, and not that it's a fourth separate place. Now the Gemara continues on this topic of Gehenim. Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Zayin Shemis Yesh LeGehenim. There are seven different names for Gehenim. Ve'elehen, and these are them. Sh'oil, the depth. Va'avadin, and annihilation. U'be'er Shachas, and the well of destruction. U'var Sh'oin, and the pit of turbulent waters. Ve'tit Hayavan, and what that basically means is that generally cement is fit to be used for building. But here, when it's a certain type of murky type of cement, which is like a muddy type, that it's like quicksand, that you sink in it. V'tzalmavis, and the shadow of death. The Eretz HaTachtis, and the land underneath, which basically means like the underworld. These are the seven names that Gehenim has. And that the Gemara brings a source for each one of them. Sha'il, where do we find that Gehenim is called Sha'il? Like it says the pasuk in Yonim that we quoted before. Mi betin Sha'il Shavati, from the stomach of Sha'il, that I screamed out to you. Shemata Kaili, you heard my voice. As we said before, that's why that was one of the portals of Gehenim that he was talking about, that we see that Gehenim is called Sha'il. Avadim, where do we find that Gehenim is called annihilation? Chassid, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, Hayisuper ba'kever chazdecha, can we say over your kindness in the grave? Emunascha ba'avadim, your faith in avadim, annihilation. That is again that we see that Gehenim is a reference. One of the names is avadim. Be'er shachas, the well of destruction. Chassid, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, Kiloisaziv nafshi l'shoil, because he did not forsake my soul for sha'oil, which again is one of the names of Gehenim. And therefore we see that from the end of the pasuk, Leisitin chasid cholira shachas, that you did not give over your pious one to see destruction, that we see that shachas is also one of the names of Gehenim. And then for the next two, Ba'or sha'oin u'betit hayavin, regarding a pit of turbulent waters and this muddy type of cement, t'chsev, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, Vayaleini mi ba'or sha'oin, that he brought me up from the pit of the turbulent waters, mitit hayavin, from this muddy cement. Again, that all these are references to saving and destruction, that obviously these are references to the names of Gehenim, B'tzalmavis, and the shadow of death. There's something like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, Yishri Chayshach B'tzalmavis, those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's again, that's another name of Gehenim. And the last one, Ve'eretz HaTachtis Gemaru, and the underworld that it's called, that's the tradition that we have. There's no source for that in any one of the Pesukim. Not the Gemara's Pesulaka, are there no more? Are there only seven names for Gehenim? But Ve'eretz Gehenim, there's actually the name of Gehenim. We said Sha'il and all these different names, but Gehenim is also one of the names, as we were calling it all along. And that the Gemara says that Gehenim is not really one of the names. It's descriptive. And that is, it's Geisha Amuka K'Gehenim, that it's a valley that it's as deep as the valley of Hinnom. And the reason why it's compared to the valley of Hinnom is Shaka HaKol Yordan Al Iske Hinnom, because everyone who goes down there, in other words, to Gehenim, which is what we call it, they go down there because of their involvement in Hinnom. And that is, as Rashi says, that's a reference to Arayis, to immorality. And the reason why Hinnom is called immorality, Reb Kivega brings on the side on Gilgan HaShas, as the Gemara in Yuma in Perek HaMikipurim says, that the Jews complained that what we used to have, Noichel B'Mitzrayim, Hinnom, we used to eat in Egypt for free. That is, the Gemara there says, that's a reference to Arayis, to immorality. And why is that? And so Reb Kivega brings down for the Masha, that's a reference specifically to incest, which is free. One normally would have to pay for these type of immoral relationships, but when it's amongst one's siblings, incestual relationships, that's for free. So that's what it means for the people. It's used as a paradigm of that Hinnom is the epitome of immorality because of what incest is. Therefore, Hinnom, which is related again to the word Chinam, which is free, that's a reference to immorality, and that's because that's what's called Gehenim, because it's the valley of people go down there because of Hinnom of immorality, but it's not really one of the names. It's more descriptive. As the Gemara says, Brika Tafta, but there's another name of Gehenim. It's called Tafta. To simply, like it says, the passage in Yeshaya, Ki Aruch Me'et Mol Tafta, and that is, it's prepared from yesterday, in other words, from before the world, Tafta was prepared, and that is Gehenim, is prepared from before the world. As it says there in that pasuk, that it's a reference to Gehenim, because it says Madarusa Ish, that its bonfire is fire, the Eitzim Harba, and a lot of wood. So obviously that's a reference to Gehenim, that was created before the world, so therefore it has another name of Tafta. And that the Gemara says, as it said before, Hahu, that is not really a name of Gehenim. It's more descriptive, Shekola Mispata B'Yitzro Yiposham, that it will ever get seduced by his inclination, he falls there. That's where Tafta is, of pitoy. It's the word mefata, that if he's seduced, then he falls there. But again, that only has seven names, and these two other ones of Gehenim and Tafta are references for the type of people and what actually happens there in Gehenim. Now the Gemara continues with the other end of the pole, Gan Eden, regarding the Garden of Eden. So I'm Rish Lakish, in Be'eretz Yisrael, who we said before, three different portals, three openings for Gehenim. Now the Gemara says, where's the opening of Gan Eden? So Rish Lakish says that in Be'eretz Yisrael, who, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, Beishan Pischei, then Beishan is the opening, because the fruits of Beishan are the sweetest from the entire of Eretz Yisrael. And as we know, Gan Eden was full of luscious fruits and of trees. And therefore, that would obviously be the first candidate to be the opening of Gan Eden, Vimbaravi. And if it's in Arabia, then Beis Gran Pischei, because there also has sweet fruit. And if it's between the rivers, which is a reference to Mesopotamia, that is between the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers, so then Damascus will be the entryway again, because those are the locations of where it has the ultimate blissful type of characteristics that Gan Eden has. So the Gemara says that in Bavel, Abayi mishtabech b'peirid ma'av yamina, he would praise the fruits of the right side of the river, of Pras of the Euphrates, which the right side means on the south. And Rava Mishtabeach b'peirid Arpanya, and Rava would praise the fruits of Arpanya, again, which would have relevance to know where is the opening of Gan Eden. So now the Gemara goes back to discussing our Mishnah, again, which we were talking about, the unique halacha of Ois and Pasen, that you can make these duyumdin, these double posts, that although there's going to be areas of halacha that normally would not work in regular mechitzas, but the Chazal made takanas, made a leniency regarding the Oiler Gom, those who become a pilgrimages, for them to fill up the water for their animals, because you have the pits, which are Rishus HaYachas, because they're 10 Tvachim deep, and they're 4 Amis wide. Now that, it has Alacha Rishus HaYachas, and it's out in the Rishus HaRam, so you can't fill up and bring out to your animal. So there'd be, what you could do is make these Bediyevid type of mechitzas, which have an Amma each way. These are the L-shaped brackets on each corner of this area, and you separate a little bit, and you make this type of quasi-type of Rishus HaYachid, and that Chazal permitted it. However, there are certain criteria regarding this area, and that is, as the Mishnah said, that between them has to be the maximum that it could be is the amount of two teams of animals, and there was a machlokes between Ramban and Behuda regarding exactly how many animals are in each one of the two teams, if it's three or if it's four, and that would make a difference if it could be a gap between the posts on every side of up to 10 amas, which according to Ramban you can't have more than that, or according to Behuda up to 13 and a third amas. So now the Gemara says that one of the terms that we said that to way to measure these teams are that they're kashuras v'lemutaras, that they're tied together, whether there be three in each team or four in each team. And then when they're tied together and v'lemutaras and they're not untied, so then that's the amount that you would measure. And as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, exactly how much each animal takes up to know how to measure, again, according to Ramey being that 10 amas or 13 and a third. But now the Gemara says, pshita, that's pretty obvious, redundant. Keeping the tunnel, the sure is obvious. Since you said the way we're measuring these animals, these two teams, are that they're tied together, obviously they're not loose, that they're not untied. And then Yadin will have mutaris. So why do you have to say that they're this redundant terminology of the kashuras will have mutaris? And that thing where it says maldutam, I would have thought to say kashuras k'ain kashuras. When we say that they have to be tied, it means like they're tied of a mamashla, but they don't have to literally be tied. In other words, close together, which was what animals are like when they're tied, but they don't have to actually be tied. And that is how we would measure, which would make it a little bit looser. Kamash Mulan Mulumitaris, that's why I have to repeat and say that they're not untied, they're not loose, to say that they're totally tied, and that is the measurement, to have an exact type of measurement, how wide the gap could be between these double posts, one and one regarding that entryway between the two of them. So the Mishnah continued and said, Achas Nechnasis v'achas Yoitzis, that we're measuring it with one going in and one going out. So that the Gemara explains, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Ravka Nechneses v'Ravka Yetzes. What we meant is one going in, one going out. We meant that from the two teams, one team of animals, again, whether they're three or four, according to different opinions, one team's going in and one team's going out. That's how you measure, because that means to say that it's not going to be exact, because it would be closer together when they're going in the same direction. Opposite directions, it has to make it a little bit looser, but it's in reference to the teams and not regarding each individual cow, because if it meant one cow going in, one cow going out, then one cow going in, one cow going out, then that wouldn't fit with what the Mishnah says, that they were tied together. Because we're saying that they were tied, obviously it means that the teams were tied separately, and one team going in, one team going out, but it doesn't mean each cow was going in and the other one next to it going out. So now the Gemara continues with a brisa talking about what the Mishnah spoke about regarding the space between these diyumdin. There's a maximum amount, whether it be 10 amas or 13 and a third amas. There's a minimum amount, how close they can be together regarding the distance of the pit from the diyumdin and regarding how close they can be. In other words, you have a close and then you keep on pulling out, how far can they be and how close can they be? So the brisa elaborates. Turn about learning the brisa. Kama, what is this measurement when it says in the Mishnah, Reisha Berubishal Par, that we said the minimum amount that you can have of how close the diyumdin could be to the pit and to one another has to be that the head and the majority of the cow can fit within the area of this area that's closed off. In other words, the Chazal gave a Shir in our Mishnah that how far it must be, the pass in these side posts from the pit, is that you can fit in the head and the majority of the animal inside over there. So how big is that? How much area does that have to be that the animal could be in there and that we have to distance it from the pit? And that the Gemara says, from the Braisa, Shtei Amas, that's two Amas. Now then they go to the other extreme. Bekami Oivi Yishal Parah. Now how much was the thickness of each cow, which is important to know regarding that we said how much the maximum can be. Because we said it's talking about two different teams of cows. Where again, either each team has three or each team has four. And that's how much you can have a space between the two diyumdin. Now how much is each cow, the thickness, to know how wide that can be. And that the Braisa says, Amma Ushnei Shlishi Amma, that the thickness of each cow is measured with 1 2/3 of an Amma. And we continue on to Amud Beis, which that calculates to be Shein Ke'eser Dibre Meir, which that is around 10 Ammas. That's the opinion of Remeir, because if you take the 6 cows and you multiply that by 1 2/3, that will come out to 10 Ammas, which the Gemara is soon will ask, what does it mean like 10 Ammas? What, that comes out to exactly 10 Ammas. So why does he say this terminology of Ke'es, or like around 10 Ammas? But that's the opinion of Remeir, because he says Ikim has 3 cows. Yehuda Omer Kishloish Esri Amma Ukaarbe Esri Amma. Yehuda says that it's around 13, 14 Ammas. And that is because he says that there are 8 cows, because there's 4 in each team, which it's not anymore in the category of 13 Ammas, but it doesn't reach to 14 Ammas either, because it comes out to 13 and a third Ammas. So therefore he says around 13, 14 Ammas. Now the Gemara goes back to ask on the Brice. Ke'eser, Remeir has said that it's around 10 Amas. It's around 10 Amas? Ha'eser haven't, it's exactly 10 Amas. So why is he saying it's around 10 Amas? Another thing where it says, Mishum de Boile Misn is safer, because the Braisa wanted to teach in the terminology of Rabbi Yehuda, Kishloish Esrei, that it's around 13 Amas. So therefore, the Reisha also said the terminology of around 10 Amas, but really it's exactly 10 Amas. But then the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yehuda, Kishloish Esrei, it's around 13 Amas? What do you mean Tvehav? I mean, it's more than 13. What does it mean it's like 13 Amas? So that the Braisa said, Mishum de Baila Misni Ka'arba Esri, because it wanted to say it's like 14 Amas. Around that the Gemara asked, Uka'arba Esri? Is it like 14 Amas? Holoi Havi, when it's not 14 Amas, it's less than that. It's only 13 and a third. And that the Gemara says, Amra Papa, Yiseris al Shlesh Esri. It means to say when it's like 13, 14 means that it's more than 13 Amas. But Ve'ein Magiyas Larba Esri, but it does not reach to 14 Amas. That's what it means to say like 13, 14. It wasn't going to the nitty gritty exactly down to the fraction. And that's why, since we said over there, ke, with the Kof Hadimyan, that it's like that amount. So therefore, when Remeir said it was like 10 Amas, but really it's exactly 10 Amas according to the opinion of Remeir. Now the Gemara goes to explain a different machlekes in our Mishnah regarding and related to this machlekes about how many pasim, how many boards were necessary by this pit. And that is the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that there are 4 diyumdin, there's 4 double posts, and that's all that's necessary when you're going ahead and making these diyumdin, these posts around the pit. All you need is 4. Remeir said, no, it's not enough to have just these 4 double posts on the corners. You also need to have a regular post, a single post, in the middle of each direction, which would equal to be 8, but 12. In other words, because you have the 4 double posts, which are like 8, and you have the 4 single ones, so together it would be like 12. Not like Rabbi Yehuda said you need to have 4 double, which is like 8. And now the Gemara comes to explain this machloikas. Amra Papa. Bebarish Moina, that by a pit of 8 amas wide, the kulam aloi pligi the loi be'inim shuten. There nobody argues that you don't need to have the single post over there. That is, even according to a mayor, that you would not require this shuten, because the calculation is as follows. We said that you have to have reisha beruba. You have to have on each side That is the amount of the head and the majority of the animal that can fit into the area between the pit and the diyumnan and these double posts. So therefore, when you distance the double post, the area that the head and the majority of the animal can fit in there, that, as we explained in the Braisa from Amud Aleph, that's a distance of 2 amas. And that's on every side. You need to have 2 extra amas pulled out from the pit to the double post. So therefore, comes out that the space between the 2 mechitzes, the 2 walls, are going to be 12 amas, because you're going to have the 8 amas width of the pit itself, and you're going to have 2 amas on each side, whichever side it is that you're pulling out 2 more amas. So therefore, in every direction, you're going to have 2. So when you have this corner on that corner, it's going to be pulled out 2 amas this way, 2 amas this way, because it has to have on each side that extra 2 amas for the animal to be able to be there. So now when you're on, let's say you're on the south side, so on east and west, it was pulled out another 2 amas, so therefore you have 8 of the pit itself, plus another 2 amas on one side, another 2 amas on the other side. So now the space you have between one wall and the other wall is going to be 12 amas. But the pasin themselves, the diyumdin, are an ama thick in each direction, one facing the other. And that is, it comes out, the area between the pasin are going to be an opening of 10 amas. And Remeah holds that 10 amas is mutter. Again, because we said if it's 8 amas wide, you're pulling out in each direction two more amas. So wherever it's going to be, you're going to have another space of 12 amas from one wall to the other wall. But besides having the 12 amas, you have this L shape. So you're having one ama here, one ama here. That's taking away, but they're opening from here, another take minus 2 amas. So it's 12 minus 2. You have an opening of 10 amas. According to Remeah, 10 amas works in the space between the diyumna. So you would not have to have shooting over there. And also, b'boshteim esrei dekul amaloi pligi, and regarding a pit that its width is 12 amas, there nobody argues, the be'inim shudin, that there definitely you do need to have the single post, because the pit itself is 12 amas, and again, you have to pull back 2 amas in every direction for the animal to be able to fit in over there on any side. So now what it comes out, that the space between the mechitzas on either side is 12 plus 2 plus 2, because it's the pit itself is 12, plus you have to add 2 on either side, that comes out to 16 amas. And then you have minus 2 amas of the pasin themselves. So it comes out the space between the diyumdin, between the double posts, wherever it is going to be 14 amas wide. Now, even according to Yehuda, he also doesn't permit more than 13 and a third amas. So therefore, here where it's going to be 14 amas, it's not going to be good, even according to Yehuda. And therefore, you're going to require these single posts, these pshutin, on every side. And that is because from every side, you have a breach of 14 amas, which doesn't work even according to Yehuda. And the Gemara later will explain exactly where do you put these pshutin. We obviously have to diminish the space between them. No one will agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that it will work when the pit itself is 12 because plus 4, because 2 on either side is 16, and minus 2 is 14, which is larger than even Rabbi Yehuda himself has. The Gemara will explain exactly where do you put the pshutin to diminish the area. However, so where is the machlekes that's brought in our Mishnah that either isn't enough just to have the diyumna, the double post, or do you also have to have these pshutin, these single posts on each side? That's between 8 and 12 amas. And that is the Remeah being pshutin. According to Remeah, you're going to require the single post because that's still going to be more than 10 amas, as we calculated before. You're not going to require a single post because it's going to still be less than his 13 and a third amas. And again, so it's in these cases of only between 8 and 12, which again, because 12 will be already considered more than even Rabbi Huda. Less than 8 will be good even according to Remeah, because it's going to be less than 10 amas. It's between 8 and 12, where you have more than 10, less than 13 and a third. That's exactly the same machlokes that they had in our Mishnah, which will be related to see if you have to have pshutin or not. But now the Gemara asks on that, Rapapa, my Kamashmo, what is Rapapa teaching us by saying that they only argue between 8 and 12? But Tanina, this is what we learned in our Mishnah. What's he adding on more? Remeah said in our Mishnah that you have to calculate the space of 6 cows. According to Yehuda, we said you have to calculate 8 cows because it's 2 teams of 4, not of 3. And therefore, obviously, we hear that Remeah says it's permitted with a space of 10, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted with a space of 13 and a third. Because, and therefore, when Remeah says you have to have pshutin, was obviously talking about more than 10, because if it's less than 10, why would I have to have pshutin according to Remeah if he says you're allowed to have a space of 10? So what's he teaching that we didn't already know from the Mishnah? And that the Gemara says, Rav Papa, this Braisa that we just quoted, that said, what is the shear of the thickness of the cows? Lo shmile. He didn't hear this Braisa. And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't specify how much is the space of each cow regarding, or the majority and the head of it, to know what the calculations are. The Kamash Malon, Kibraisa, and the Chiddush Rav Papa was teaching us was exactly like what the Braisa had taught us. And that is, he was coming to tell you the shear of a mayor How much are 6 cows? That's 10 amos. How much are 8 cows? That's the Shev Yehuda. It's 13 and a third. And Rav Papa on his own came to the conclusions that it was taught for us in the Braisa, that the Reisha Verubai are 2 amos, and the thickness of each cow is an amma and 2/3 amma. That is what he was teaching us. That is, he didn't hear the Braisa, and therefore we wouldn't have known from our Mishnah exactly how much it is. That is what he's teaching us, and therefore that's what he said will be related to the other machlekes of if you have to have the Pshutin or not. But correct, once we have the Braisa, we don't need the statement of Rav Papa. Now the Gemara continues with 6 questions that Abaye asked from Rabbah regarding this halacha of the yumnin of the double post. And the Gemara brings a siman and a mnemonic to remember them. They are orich, extended, yoyser, more, betal, an amount, chitzas, it's a mechitza, a partition, chatzer, and a courtyard, shayavsha, that dried out. Siman, that's a mnemonic to remember these 6 questions that Abaye asked from Rabbah, which continue on to the coming daf. So the Gemara begins with the first question. Abaye asked from Rabbah the following question. If let's say he extended by the double post the measurement of the single post, and that is he added on more than the amma on every side of this double post until he made the space between them not more than 10 ammas, and that is regarding the double post we had said that it's an amma in each direction of the L bracket. However, here he went and made the partition of whichever direction it is more than an amma. According to Meir, what is the halacha? And that is, did Remeir say necessarily in our Mishnah that if it's going to be a gap more than 10 amas, that the only way to rectify it is going to be with pshutim, with single posts? And that is, since you made the distance more than the Chacham allowed regarding this heter of pasen, they only allowed up to 10 amas. Now you distance it more, one bracket from the other, and therefore it's more than 10 amas. So therefore you have to have a special heker between the two L brackets, between these double posts. And it's not enough with just making the wall of this double post longer. Rather, you have to go ahead and add on a single post between the two of them. And the same thing in the other side. To make a heker, to realize, wait a second, although this is more, I'm putting something else in over here because more than that generally would not work. Or maybe that, no, since ultimately the space between them is only 10 amas and not more, therefore it's not going to be also. That's the question that Abaye was asking from Rabbah. Will it work? Because ultimately the space will not be a gap larger than 10 amas. Or do you say, no, it doesn't work because since you didn't do it the way Chazal allowed it, and therefore if you want to do it to make it less, you have to put a post in between. So Amalei Tenisua, so Rabbah answered him, we learned this in our Mishnah. We said that you can make it as big as you want, Ubevachi Yarbe Bepasan, as long as you add on the boards. So my love, so Rabbi says, isn't it obvious that the Mishnah is saying, demarach b'diyumdin, that what you're doing is that you're lengthening the post, the double post, because it doesn't say how, it just says you should make more boards, which sounds like you could even add on to the double post itself to make it less than 10 amos. And then Abaye says, lo, no, demapish v'avit pshutin, maybe our Mishnah is talking about that you went and you added on more single posts, and therefore that's what it's talking about, but who said it's going to work to lengthen even the double post? And that Rabbi said, ihach, if that's the case, why would it say in our Mishnah, as long as you go ahead and you add on in the boards, it should have said until you add boards, not in the boards. What's the bit pasen? Obviously, Rabbi is saying it's like me that I'm saying, yeah, you could even take the original pasen and be marbe in it and just to extend the yumid itself, but not that you have to actually add pshutin in the middle. On that, Abaye says no, because tini achiyarbe pasen learn bigoris in the Mishnah that it says until you add boards but and don't have the base de bit pasen, and therefore you wouldn't have a proof from our Mishnah. Ikadami, some give a different version of this discussion. Amalei tinisua, that Rabbi told him that we learned this in our Mishnah. It says ubavad shiyarbe pasen until as long as you add on by the boards. And that Rabbi said, my love de mapish v'ovid pshutin. Isn't it obvious that the Mishnah is talking about that you went and you added on boards, but not that you can go ahead and add on to the double post itself? It means that you're adding on boards. And that is, he holds that it would not work to add on the yumdin. And that Abaye says, Loi, no, who said? Maybe demarach b'yumdin, maybe it's talking about that you are adding on to the double post. And hochenam mistam, but it even makes more sense to say like that, Abaye tells Rabbah. Midiktoni, from the fact that it says in the Mishnah, b'vad sh'yarbe b'pasin, as long as you add on in the boards, again, that same diik that makes it sound like that you're adding on to the diyamid itself, not adding different boards. Shema minah, Abaye says from there you could conclude that yes, you don't have to actually make the pshutin, it would work even if you do it larger than 10 amas, but then you go ahead and add on to this double side post itself, and that you don't have to add on a single pashut one in the middle. Now the Gemara continues with the second question Abaye asked of Rabbah. Let's say it's more than 13 and a third amas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the halacha? That is a similar question we just asked Rabbi Meir, but now in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That is because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mention anything about these pshutin. So therefore, according to him, which one is better? We know in the Mishnah, Rebbe Meir mentioned about making pshutin. So he wants to know, was it necessarily pshutin or not? And we answered, no. According to one, at least, version, it says that you could even do it by adding on to the double post. Now we're asking according to Yehuda, who doesn't mention anything about adding on regarding that. He just says you can't have more than a 13 and a third. According to him, what would be if it's larger than that? And that the question is, pshutin of it, would we say that you should make single post? And that's the better option to make than making the diyumdin larger, because you want to have, as we said before, to make a hecker between the two double posts, and that it wouldn't be enough to just lengthen the diyumdin itself. Or maybe it makes better, it would be a better version to make the double post itself longer. And the reason why is because when you make this pashut, you make the single post in between the two double posts, what happens is that you have the svara of that let the airspace on each side, which is called lesiavir, the high geese, or the high geese, ulavatla, maybe there would be worse because you have, it's just a single post and with so much air on either side from one end of the other end of these pasin, and therefore maybe it would make more sense to go ahead and just lengthen the diyumdin. Which one would be a better option according to Rabbi Yehuda? So Amalei, so Rabbi answered to Abai, to Nisua, we learned this, says in the Braisa, kamehin mukuravin, how close. And this is the Bryce elaborating on what we had learned in our Mishnah. How close can you have the post of the well to the well itself? On that, the Bryce said, "Kedei roish shavirubi shel par." As we said in our Mishnah, as long as you have the mount of the head and the majority of the cow that could fit into the well area, that's how much it could be. The kamruchak. And now, how far can it be? We said how close it could be. How far could it be? A fil kurva, a fil karaim, even a kur or two kurs, which is very large, as long as you keep on adding on, as we said in the Mishnah, on the pasin, on the boards, that it doesn't have a larger gap than what it's allowed, either 10 or 13 and a third, you can make it as big as you want. Rabbi Huda argues, as he argues in our Mishnah, he says, base asayim mutar, up until a measurement of base asayim, that would be permitted. Yaisim base asayim also, but more than base asayim, that would be forbidden, even if you keep on adding on boards, because that is the measurement of a type of enclosure that wasn't made full-fledged, properly made mechitzas. Therefore, over here, although we have these pasin, you cannot make it larger than base asayim, even if you keep on adding on boards. So Amalei Rabbi Huda, so they responded to Rabbi Huda, don't you agree, Bedir, regarding a pen which was surrounded for dwelling purposes? That is because the shepherd himself sleeps there at night. Visahar in the pen in the city, Umukza in the backyard, Vachotza in the front courtyard. Wouldn't you agree there that regarding these enclosures, that even if they're very, very large, still they work to be considered in the Rishus HaYachid? So therefore, the reason would be because they're enclosed for dwelling purposes, for usage that people use it for. And that is, although it's not where people actually sleep, but it's considered part of their dira purposes. So therefore, here also, where this is where the water is, which is a usage for human and for animal consumption, which is dira purposes, it should be considered a dira, which allows it even more than basis sayim, which even up to 2, 5 kor and 10 kor. So why over here do you say it's only muta up to basis sayim? So Amalei answered, Yehuda said to them, Zu mechitza, you can't compare these cases of the deer, Sahara, and the chotzer, and the muktzah. You can't compare these to what we're talking about over here of the pasin. Although there you can make it as large as you want to, here you can't make it more than the base sign. Because there, they're mechitzas, they're complete regular walls. The elu pasin, but here regarding the well, they're just boards, and that is between each one, you're going to have 13 amas, because that's the amount that I let a gap up until by the pasin berais. Now, all that you have there, but to separate each gap, because you're making it as large as you want, if you're making a core or two cores, a five core, 10 core, you can make it really big. And now all you're going to have is a pas amma between every gap of 13 amas. Now that is a very, what's called a shvacha, a very bidi'evet type of a mechitza. There, it's not a ketikana, and as explained elsewhere, the Rabbi Yehuda, it was applying this concept of basis sign, which is something used for areas which are not complete halachic walls, which although we allow it for certain areas, we only let it up to basis time. Here he's saying here it's not full-fledged walls, therefore we can only allow it up to basis time. And therefore the Gemara is proving that obviously according to Yehuda, that when you're making it very large, a kor or two kor, what the way you would make it is you're going to make, which according to Yehuda does not work, only allows up to basis time, but when you're making it larger than just a small amount, what you're doing between the gaps of 13 and the third amis are only going to be pshutin. And not that you're extending the diyumdin themselves, because as the Gemara says, Vim Isa, if it were true that what you're doing according to Behuda, that you don't go ahead and put a pshutin, put a single post in between to go ahead and diminish the area, but rather you extend the double post, but that is a mechitza. And therefore, zu mechitza bezu mechitza mebayle. what he should have been saying, which basically means to say would not have been a taina, is that they are both regular full-fledged mechitzas, because when you go ahead and extend the diumdin, that's part of a full-fledged mechitza that's there, because it's not just a single amma post in between third and the third amma, so you're making it very, very long. And if you're making these brackets, these L-brackets very long that you're having up to base Asayim, or even longer if he would allow it to be, then it would be a regular mechitza. So what would be the difference between the Deir and the Sahar and all these areas that the that Rabbanah are telling him that obviously you can make it even more than base Asayim? It wouldn't be a response that he's saying to say that, oh, there's a mechitza, I agree you can make it as large as you want to, because for Deir purposes. So although here it's Deir purposes, but here it's only Pasin, it's just like an amma stick between such large gaps. It's not true. You're not putting in the amma stick between the gaps. You're making the Yumdin so large because all you allow is to extend it. So obviously that it's not the case that you are putting the pshutin, and since it's just one stick between 13 and 3rd amas on either side, that's very little and it's not such a full-fledged wall, and that's why I said we only allow it up to base asayim. And that the Gemara says no, that the Gemara is deicha raya's rabbis raya, because hachikama, this is what Rabbi Huda was telling the Rabbanim. You're right, maybe it's talking about that all we do is extend the double post and we don't put in these pshutin. But what he meant to say was that zu teres mechitza leha, that this case that you're bringing me from the Deir and the Sahar by these pens and these backyards and front yards, that they have a status of walls, of mechitzas, of partitions, upirtzaseh be'eser, and the breaches are only allowed up to 10 amas, that is more than 10 amas, it's aser. So that's regular full-fledged walls with regular psalchim, with regular entryways, which we always say is up to 10 amas. But ve'elu teres pasnalein, here we only give it a status of pasin, which of course is going to be like mechitzis, because we're extending just the yumdin. However, what he meant to say was upirtzasein b'shlish esri amma b'shlish, but the breaches are allowed up to 13 and the third amas, which is very, very large between areas, because we only usually allow Pesach up to 10 amas. And therefore, since it's a shvacha type of mechitzis, because although it's a full-fledged mechitza, but the breaches are so large, therefore we do not allow it more than basis sign. And therefore, it's not a raya. Although he's saying that there, here's a mechitza and here's a pas, it doesn't mean that it's not a mechitza, because you are extending the yumdin. What he meant to say was, is that since the breaches are so large, we can't allow such a kula, such a leniency, more than mesa sim, similar to other areas, which we say that since there's major leniencies going on, we only allow it up to an area of mesa sim, and not more than that. Now the Gemara moves on to the third question, boyimin abay merabba, that Abaye had asked from Rabba, related again to this studio of the yumdin, of the double post. Regarding a pile, a mound, that gathered a height of 10 tefachim, mitoich arba, within the area of 4 amas, that is, there's a, let's say, a mound of earth that gathers a height. However, the incline is standing upward, that is, before it reaches a length of 4 amas, it gathers to a height of 10 tefachim. And the Gemara in Perek HaZerik, Masechta Shabbos, and Nafkof HaMed Alf says that regarding the halachos of Shabbos, it's considered Rishus HaYachid, because we view it as if it's a wall, because since it gathers less than an area of 4 amas, we view it as an incline that's really a wall, not as part of the ground. So therefore, the question the Gemara is asking over here, if let's say this mound, this tal, is in an area where one of the duyumdin would have to be. So the question is, do we consider that halachically as one of the double posts, or do we not? And that is, since it has the area of a diyumid, do we say that we view it as a diyumid, as a double post or not? And that's why we picked that it gathered a height of 10 tefachim with an area of 4 amas, because if the incline would have been less narrow, rather it would have gathered only to a height of 10 tefachim after a length of 4 amas, then even if it reaches 10 amas, we would still view it as part of the ground, not as a partition. So therefore here we have a Rishus HaYachid, which has the elements obviously of a mechitza, because Rishus HaYachid, it would partition a Rishus HaRabim. So therefore now the question was, regarding this tal, this mound that has its own, as if it's a Rishus HaYachid, do we view that as a diyumid, as a double post or not? So Amalei Tenisis, as we learned this in the Braisa, Rishim ben Elazar says, Hayis Hashem Evan Mirabas, if there was a square rock there in the area, an Amma squared, that was in the area where the Diyumid has to be. So again, let's say you have this pit, and you have one, we made an L bracket one place, the other one, now we're by the fourth one, but there we can't make it because there we have a square rock. The only thing that it's lacking to be this Diyumid, which is the L bracket, is to go ahead and cut off part to split basically this rock that's an amma square to take off the width of that's in the middle and to make it like this L bracket to make a wall over here and a wall over there, but it has it all there. All you have to do is go ahead and take out from what's here, because all we need is an amah here and amah here, and we don't need this exact square. So take away this part, and you're left with that part. And that the Tanna Kama says that Rayin Kol Shiel Techalik, we view it that anything that had it been split, V'yesh ba'amlekan, ba'amlekan, that you would have an amah one way and an amah the other way, then need the Mishum Diyumin, that we view it, we already judge it as if it's a double post. V'imlav enin in Mishum Diyumin, if it doesn't have, if you were to split it, an amah on each direction, then it wouldn't be a Diyumin, but if it's a squared amah of rock, then it's good. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef Yechem Nimreiko, he says, Ha'yisa Shem Evan Agula, if there was a round rock, and that is, it was lacking two things. It was lacking first being hewn, to go ahead and carve it out, to take off the circular part of it and to even out the middle part to the corners to make it squared. And it's also still lacking the part of chalika of splitting it. So then still Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechim Merkis, says, Rayin kol she'ilu techakik v'techalik. We view it as that if it would be cut and it would be split, both steps, v'yesh ba'amlekan ba'amlekan, and then you would still have an amah in each direction, that in the L shape. Need to mishum diyumin, we judge it already as a diyumin, as a double post. V'imlav, and if it wouldn't have it after all the processes, then eidim mishum diyumin, then it would not be judged as a diyumin. And therefore the Gemara wants to say, but my kamifka, what are they arguing about? They're obviously arguing about exactly the question that Abai asked of Rabbah. Marsa v'chad royin, I mean, one says that you say one royin, that is, we're going to do one step. If it's lacking this techalik, then we'll say that we'll view it as if it's split, which would only work if it's already square. Trei royin lemin, we don't say two royin, that is eight, to see the round one as if it's square, and then to say the square one as if it was split. Umarsa v'afilat trei royin namirin, no, the other man, the amma, Rabbi Shmuel says that you even say two royin, and therefore, you'll say it even by a round rock, that you'll say, hey, first of all, we see it's squared, and then we see it as if it's split. And therefore, this case of the towel of the mound that he asked is the same halacha, basically, as the round rock. And that is, according to Bishmol, that would work. According to the Kama, you would not say that it would work because you would need two rayin. So again, according to this, the shayla that he asked, this is really totally machlokes tanoim. Again, that you have this round, this pile, that we view it as its own area. Again, that is if it gathers a height of 10 tefachim within the area less than 4 amas. Therefore, we view it as Rosh Hashanah, it definitely would be like halacha of mechitza. And therefore, what you would have to do, you would first have to square it out, which would be to first techakik, and then you would have to be techalik, that you would have to go ahead and then view it as if it was cut off to make it these L brackets. According to one Tana, it would be good because you do two steps. According to the other Tana, it would not be good because you did not do two steps. That's the resolution of the third question Abai asked from Rabbah. Now the fourth question, Bayimne Abai Mirabah, Chitzas HaKonim, regarding a partition of reeds. And that is, he made reeds going this way and the reeds going the other way in the dimensions of this diyumin, of this double post. However, it was done kona pachas mishleisha. It wasn't that a complete wall of reeds. Rather, every reed was within three tvachim of the other one. The question was, nidim mishum diyumin eloi. Do we view it as if it's a double post or not? And that is, although based on halacha of love, we view each one connected to the other, would we say that even if it's a chitzas hakonim of these one within three of the other and going the other way, would we view it also as a diyumin or not? So I'm like Tanisis, we learned in the Braisa, it says Hayisham Ilon, if there was a tree, a geder or a wall, a chitzas hakonim, or this partition of reeds, nidim mishum diyumin, that it gives it a status as a double post. My love, kana pachim shosh. Obviously, wouldn't it be talking about that it's even when you have each reed within three tvachim of the other one, still we would be able to join the double heter in the sense that you could do this loved status of the wall of the konim together with the fact of this heter of the pasi berais of these corner L brackets. And then Loi says, no, it's not a riot. Gudrisa de koni. We were talking about a hedge of reeds. And that is, we're talking about the reeds that are attached many together in one tree. That's how they grow out from this one bush close to the ground. And only on the top is where they separate. So therefore, they will view it as one halacha because that's all we have to go on is the old halacha of the yumdin that we view it as if it's split. But we don't have to go ahead and attach to another heter of this halacha of love when they're within three of the other one. Maybe it's only talking about that it was talking about this gudriyasa dekani. To which Rabbi responds to Abaya, how can you be doichemai raya and that I proved that you see chatzakin would work even when within three tefachim the other? Because it's not talking about that case. It's talking about a bush of these reeds. But if that's what the case of when I said oichitzas akonim was talking about what you said was this gudrasa dekani, but then that's the same thing as a tree which has the same properties necessary that we have to view it as if it was cut out from it, and then we view it as this double side post. But it's the same thing. If you're saying it's a tree, it's this type of tree or that type of tree. So on that, Abaye responds to him, that's not a question on me. Velamai, so what do you want to say? So good, it can't be that case, because then it would be the same case as a tree. You want to say it's kanapachas mishloisha, that it's one reed within the other within three tvachim. So hainagadda, that's the same thing as a wall, because you're saying it's really a wall of reeds. So what do you have to say? Because both the case of Gedder and of Ilan are said, they trick on the Gedder. You would have to say there's two types of walls. Yeah, there's a regular wall, and then there's the wall made out of Kanim. Hachanami trick of Ilan here also, there's two types of trees, and therefore there's no proof. What we're talking about is that we want to tell you a full tree, where there you could say that Yecholik v'yechokik, that we first view it as it's squared, and then we view it as it's carved down. And we also would want to say this case of Chatzakinim, where even though you cannot say that over here, still it's going to be permitted, because underneath, it's like one diyumid. And however, regarding the case that you're trying to prove, when you have a reed within the other, with less than three tvachim, maybe that would not work. And therefore, Abaye said it's not a raya. Now the Gemara says, Ikadami, some say a different version. That the Gedrisa de Kanim Kanim Bailei. The question Abaye asked of Rabbah was not Kanim Kanim Pachas Megimel. Rather, he asked him the other case of when you have this hedge of reeds. He asked him, would that work to be considered a halacha of the Yumit? The Gedrisa de Kanim Mai, regarding this hedge of reeds, which is basically like a tree where the reeds come out from, what would be the halacha over there? Would we review it as a double post or not? So Malay to Nisus, the Rabbi answered, we've learned this in the Braisa. Says, Hoyashem Ged, if there was a wall or eel or a tree, a chitza sakonim, or this partition made out of reeds, nidun b'shum diyumet, that it's viewed halachically as a diyumet. My love, gudrasi the kanis. Rabbi says, wouldn't that make sense to say that it's even talking about the hedge of the reeds, and therefore you see that it does work as a diyumet? And that Abaye says, lay, no, maybe not. Maybe it's talking about kana pachas mishleisha, when it's reeds within three tvachim of the other one, that there, where it's literally made like a diyumet, there you don't have to have a ray in that, to view it as if. In other words, we don't have to first square it out and then go ahead and carve it out, because there we make it. It's the reeds that are made within three tvachim of the other in the L shape. There, that's much better. Maybe that's what the Bryce was talking about, that would work. On that, Rabbi responds, if that's the case you're talking about, that's literally a wall. It's just a wall made out of reeds, and it's within three tvachim of each other, which, according to the principle of the love, we see it as closed. What would be the chiddush in that? Obviously, Rabbi is saying that it's obviously something like Kudrisa de Kani, with that it would be a chiddush to say, because that would have to be, that it would have to be squared and then carved out. That would be the chiddush. Whereas according to you, what's the chiddush? So on that, Abaye responds, so what do you want to say it's talking about? Because it can't be talking about what I said, because that would be the same as a wall. It's talking about this hedge of these reeds. But Haina'ila, that's the same thing as a tree. It's a different type of a tree, but it's the same principle where it's coming out from the same base. So what would you have to say, Rabbah, anyway? And we continue on to the top of Chof and Medalv. That Treikav Nilan, obviously there's two types of trees, that there's a bigger chiddush in this type of tree. So Hachanam et Treikav Yigedah, so according to me also, there's no Raya to say regarding this Gudrisa Dekanim, because obviously I would say that, no, we're talking about that it is each reed within three tvachim of the other, and it's shaped like an L already in the beginning, which makes sense that would be the less of a chiddush, and maybe that's what the Braisa is talking about. And although that's the same as a wall, yeah, but there's two types of wall, because here would be an added chiddush, although it's not a real wall, it's a lover type of a wall within three tvachim of the other, that even that would work, and therefore there is no raya, even according to either version of the question, whether it would be of the kanim, three tvachim of the other, or gudrasi de kanim, because you could say that it really means the other one.